Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Shakeout. I'm your host, Nicholas, and today on the podcast is Lisa Mitro. Lisa is a doctor of physical therapy who focuses on helping runners prevent and treat repetitive stress injuries. She has become extremely popular on Instagram with over 150,000 followers, and that's because her content is very practical with exercises that you can take and basically plug into your training today. You can find her on Instagram at dr.lisa.dbt to learn more about her work. Again, that's at dr.lisa.dbt. In today's episode, Lisa and I discuss the importance of strength training for runners, the role of hips and glutes in running mechanics, the debate over static stretching, how to build a practical strength and prehab program, and much more. Before we get into today's episode, if you haven't already and you are enjoying the Sunday Shakeout, please consider giving this podcast a follow and 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That goes a long way in supporting the growth of this podcast so that I can keep having discussions with amazing people in the sport of running and just, you know, keep this deal going. Also, if you have any questions or would like to connect, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at the Sunday Shakeout. Our conversation today was very insightful, and Lisa's advice can benefit runners of any level. So, without further delay, please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Mitro. Lisa Mitro, welcome to the Sunday Shakeout.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have an expert like you on the podcast today. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I saw on Instagram how you PR'd in the half marathon. First off, congratulations. You said you worked smarter in the preparation for the PR. Can you elaborate on like what you meant by that training smarter aspect and like what that really entailed in the training process?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you again for having me, and props to you because you pronounced my last name correctly and no one does. So really? I appreciate that. And regards to the PR of the half, it was something that I knew I had in me. But I didn't know if I had it in me for this training block. The last time I ran a half was 2 years ago, I think. And my last PR was like 3 years ago. I think that's correct. But with this training block, I was not planning on running a race this spring at all. I was just, you know, I had come out of my marathon last fall. So I was like, let me just slowly build my endurance a little bit, build my base for fun, really. And then I decided to sign up for this half, and I was like, all right, well, I have 8 weeks. Like, that's not a ton of time. Like, ideally, I would want to have 12, but 8 weeks, I was like, I know I can do it in eight, maybe not PR, but I know I can train in 8 weeks and feel like comfortable about it and like my training block. So come like a month into training, I got sick. So I was out for 2 weeks. And then like 3 weeks before, I wanted to do like a 12 miler, but I only got up to 10. And the weekend of my 12 miler, my ankle randomly started hurting, just seriously out of the blue, like on a rest day. It's like, what is going on? I walk my dog, hurts even more. I'm like, okay, well, I can barely put weight on it. This is super weird. And because I walk all the time, like didn't do anything crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, the next day I could like run a little. It was still a little sore. Like just a really weird thing happened to it. It ended up being fine after a couple of days. You're kind of just like, all right, I'm not questioning it. I'm just happy it's a lot better. So going into like the week of the marathon or the half, I was like, okay, this training block has not gone as planned at all. At least I got a 10 miler in, but this has been like such a bad training block if I look at my previous ones. And I'm like, and a good training block for me is like, did I check off my runs and did I hit my paces? Which like, that's when I came to the realization that a good training block is that I was flexible with how I felt during training, and mentally I'm a lot stronger. And I had in me throughout like the last month of training, like I can PR this, like I am so much stronger. I'm also so much smarter. And I think in terms of like training smarter, it wasn't like I didn't hit my paces all the time. I didn't get my longest run in that I wanted to, but I was able to listen to my body. I was able to run a lot slower for me during easy runs. That's something that I did not do for the first and second half that I ran. I was able to take my rest days, not feel guilty about it. I fueled correctly. I did not fuel at all, like zero.
Oh, wow.
I don't even think, maybe I had a sip of water during my first two halves. That was pretty bad. No wonder I hit a wall. But I think I learned a lot from training for the marathon and was able to take that with me. Because, you know, like we were mentioning before we even pressed record, you have to be very mentally strong to get through a longer race, half, full, ultra, whatever it is. And I had that mental strength from my marathon, and I think I took that with me for my half.
Yeah, I can totally attest to that. I think that mental strength is big, and just having that experience from all of the races that you've done, learning from past races and stuff like that, that's pretty big. You mentioned slowing down on your easy runs. How did you kind of like keep yourself, I guess, like accountable? Where, like, mm-hmm. how did you like track your intensity? Was it like pace or heart rate, or like how did you do that?
Yeah, so last year in the spring, I ran a 10K. I felt awful during the 10K. It was kind of one of those like realization moments for me. I tend to have like a couple of those in my running journey, but once I crossed the finish line, like I wasn't happy. And it wasn't that, you know, I was like maybe 30 seconds from PR. Like I wasn't even trying to PR it, but I didn't feel good at all. Like I felt like my heart was going to beat out of my chest. Like I just felt like I was missing something. Like I was like, if I ever want to run longer distances, I have to figure this out. And that was weird that I said that to myself, because I never wanted to run like more than a half. Like that had never crossed my mind. So I was like, why did I say that to myself? So I started researching it. And that's when I came across zone two training. And to back up from last spring, a couple months before that, I had COVID. So my heart rate was really up and down after COVID. And I think that I realized to myself, I have to train my heart. Like I'm not training correctly. Like forget the speed workouts, forget the mileage. Like I was doing that fine. But in terms of like my pace for my easy runs, like I was going out way too fast. My heart rate was basically 175 and an easy pace. And that's just not great. No wonder I was so tired all the time. So I realized I had to start training in zone two. And last year when I started training in zone two, that helped me build my endurance. So I started to understand like around what pace is my quote easy pace, my slower pace based off zone two.
Wow. Yeah, I can totally see how like it's so easy to get carried away on the easy runs and just be like, I just want to knock the miles out. You know, it's totally fine. You don't have to run slow all the time, but it really does pay off. Mm-hmm. It's something that a lot of runners, if we could learn how to do that better, we could definitely become better runners for sure. Yeah. Now, before we get into talking about like the training and the rehab and the strength stuff and all the topics that I'm pretty curious about, can we just get into the background, into your background in the sport? I mean, yeah. I realize that you're obviously like a physical therapist, a coach, mm-hmm. a runner yourself. So can you just like walk me through your story and what brought you to physical therapy?
Yeah, for sure. My PT story started in high school. I was in 12th grade and I had the opportunity to go to a sports medicine technical center for half the day my senior year. So I really wanted to do that to get out of physics. So I applied, I got in, I loved it. I was obsessed with learning about the body. I thought it was so cool. I thought it was just like something that I like understood. And I was like, okay, like this actually makes sense to me and I'm good at it. So I'm going to continue on with that career path. So I started as athletic training major in college and then I switched to PT, or I guess it was exercise science. Yeah, I think that was what my major was. It was either that or kinesiology. I don't know. They changed it. It all blends together. But I changed it to go into the PT path. So I didn't have that story of like, oh, I got injured all the time. And like, I just fell in love with the rehab process. No, it was luckily I had the resources in high school to be able to expose me to kind of like that sports medicine world. So I get into... All right, I'm in college. I applied for grad school, got in immediately. And then after grad school, I moved to DC, which was about 2 hours from my home base in Richmond, Virginia. And I applied for this sports medicine job Didn't think I was going to get it because they were like, we're looking for very experienced PTs. And I was like, well, I'm just going to apply for fun. Somehow got the job. And I loved it. I treated about 80 to 90% runners. I was very thrown into this job of treating runners. But luckily, this job also had me set up to where I had a mentor who helped me throughout like the entire treatment process. Like anytime I got stuck, I'd ask questions. I worked with a lot of marathoners in DC who were also PTs. So I was just around that setting. And I also started running a little bit more myself because I didn't know what else to do with my time after, you know, you study for like 16 hours a day and then all of a sudden you have a life. Like you're like, what do I do with this time? So I started running a little bit more. And that's when that's kind of what started me treating runners, I guess you could say, like the path to me treating runners online.
Yeah, I think it's great how you were just kind of like throwing yourself into it. And it's interesting that you started young because I feel like I've interviewed a couple of other experts on the podcast and they like kind of started a little bit later. So I think that's very interesting how we can all have different paths and still end up kind of where we are today. Now, shifting gears a little bit to talk about, you know, more of the rehab and strength training side of things. For maybe the runners who are new to this idea of strength training and really training outside of the running that we're already doing, can you first talk about like why strength training is important for runners and its role in kind of injury prevention?
Yeah, for sure. So strength training, the whole idea behind strength training is that you're building strength, which I know sounds so obvious, but so many runners think that when you're running, you're building strength. And I'm talking more about like the endurance runners. I'm not talking about like sprinters, just for reference. But if we're running long distance, you know, say 30 plus minutes for me would be like long distance, just so we're in that aerobic state, then we are not building strength. We are building our slow twitch muscle fibers. And a muscle is made up of fast twitch and slow twitch. So if we're running longer distance, we are working our slow twitch muscle fibers, our endurance fibers. When we strength train, we're working our type 1 and type 2 fibers, which means our fast twitch and slow twitch muscle fibers. So we do get a little bit of that endurance side, but we also get that strength side. And when we are able to build strength outside of running, we're able to prevent injuries because it affects your running form. It affects how it affects your performance because strength training has a direct correlation with your running economy, which affects your performance. You're able to prevent injuries because say like, I feel like I can't explain this without an example. So like, say I'm looking at a runner and they have a little bit of hip drop, like one hip is dropping. If we're able to strengthen that muscle, then they're able to prevent hip drop, and hip drop is known for causing injuries. Then we're able to prevent that hip drop, which later on prevents injuries. So it's kind of like a cause and effect of what's happening at the running, what's happening with your running form. But I think every runner needs to strength train. I think it's super important. And I think it's something that I learned the hard way. When I first started getting into running, I was strength training the traditional way, the go to the gym and what's everyone else doing sort of way. And I was so sore, like all the time. Like my runs were ruined because of how sore I was. I was like, this is another one of those moments I had in my running journey where I was like, this is not right because like I can barely run. I'm so sore. And I realized that if I compared the movement patterns that healthy runners have, like runners who aren't injured, and then runners who came to me for rehab that were injured, there was a lot of different movement patterns that, you know, the injured runner had versus the non-injured runner had. So when I started looking at those movement patterns, I started working on exercises that address those movement patterns, more specific exercises for runners. That's when my running journey kind of took off. I was able to progress a lot faster and prevent injuries. I had way less injuries. So it's one thing to strength train, like strength training, doing any sort of strength training is better than nothing at all. But to me, I'm like, well, don't you want to like, you know, have the most bang for your buck? Like if you're going to do it, let's do it right. So I learned that the hard way, but I think it's really important, you know, that our strength training is specific to our goals. I used to play softball. So my strength training was specific to softball when I was growing up. And now my goals have changed. It needs to be specific to your goals. Some call it like functional strength training, but it really just depends on your goals. So for runners, it needs to be specific to running.
What differentiates like a running specific exercise from one that's kind of like generic or, you know, what I've heard, like the grab bag approach where you kind of just like go to the gym and just do what everybody else is doing? Like what differentiates the two there?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of work backwards with understanding this because a lot of people see running as like you're just moving forward, but there's a lot of rotation that happens in running. So if we break apart the running form and we really understand what's happening at each joint throughout the entire running form, it's like, okay, that's what we need to work on. So like, for example, our pelvis rotates with our upper body, but it doesn't need to rotate too much. So when it comes to our core work, we need to work on rotation and anti-rotation. That means not just doing planks, not just doing side planks. Like those are good, but let's also take it a step further, add a rotation to it. So another example would be that we don't run on two legs at a time. We're not hopping like bunnies. We are running one leg at a time. So we need to strength train in single leg. So double leg is good, especially, you know, there's nothing wrong with double leg exercises, squats, lunges, deadlifts, nothing wrong with it. But we need to take it a step further at times and also strength train in our single leg exercises, working on that single leg stability. So I think it's just understanding like what is happening with the running form, what's happening with these movement patterns, and then being able to break them apart.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of like, I've heard a lot about like the importance of like the hips and glutes. And can we just dive into that? Like, I feel like I've hear like all this stuff about like, oh, if you have like a calf injury, it could be connected like a weakness in your, you know, your glute or your hip. And I think a lot of runners are kind of starting to realize that. So can you explain why these like hip and glute muscles are particularly important for runners and how they kind of like contribute to like the overall mechanics?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when it comes to a runner who's injured, I do want to say, like, if you're having a foot and ankle injury, like, let's say you have Achilles tendonitis, you have pain along the Achilles tendon, it could be from your hips, but this is when it helps to have a PT who looks at the whole picture, especially treating a runner, because you could have a weak core, you could have weak glutes, but you also could have weak calves, you could have tight ankle, you could have lack of big toe stability. Like looking at like the laundry list of impairments, I call it, like what is everything going on? And then being able to pick out, all right, out of all these things, what is actually causing the pain? Because you could have weak core and weak glutes before you even have this Achilles pain. You know, like it doesn't, just because it's weak doesn't mean it's contributing to your pain. It could be. That's where you kind of need a good PT to look at like what is going on. But I think that's something where a lot of PTs, like outpatient PTs that treat runners or outpatient PTs that treat runners but probably shouldn't be treating runners will be like, oh, you know, it's because you have weak core, weak glutes. And I'm like asking the person, like, did they look at your ankle? No. Okay, well, how do we know there's nothing going on at the ankle? So I think like if you are injured and seeing a PT, make sure that they have the knowledge to treat runners and like make sure that you aren't going to be wasting your time with that. But in terms of like, that was like a side note for anyone's injured. But in terms of treating or the importance of the glutes, I think this comes back to like single leg stability and also strength training that's specific to running. So a common movement pattern that runners need to learn is the hip hinge. Think deadlift, single leg bridge, hip thrust. If you aren't doing that correctly or you aren't even doing that, then you're going to have a hard time strengthening your glutes, specifically your glute max, because that hip hinge teaches you to load your posterior chain, your glute max, and your hamstrings, and stabilize at the lumbar spine. That's something that a lot of runners do not do when they are running. I see a lot of injuries where the low back is taking over, very weak posterior chain. So that's just an example of like, you know, it's not all about how many clamshells you could do. It's not all about how many squats you can do. It's okay, can you work on your quality of movement? Meaning I give you this exercise and you can do it with control, and then you progress that weight as you are able. So I think that's really important, where it's like your strength training should also be your prehab. Those two go hand in hand. They should be, you know, there's nothing different about them pretty much. If it's a good strength training program, because it should be set up to help you prevent injuries and make you stronger. It shouldn't be, all right, now I'm going to do these exercises to strength train, and then after that, I have to do my prehab exercises. No, it should go hand in hand.
Yeah, you talked about quality of movement. So that does that mean like when you're selecting exercises, you're more about like getting bang for your buck rather than just like, oh, I'm going to select this like, you know, plethora of exercises and they might all work, but you're saying it's better to have like three really quality exercises and do quality reps rather than doing like 10, am I right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure you've seen like if you go to a gym and you just like look around and then people are like, absolutely thrusting their like low back to lift a bicep curl, you're like, oh wow, they're lifting a lot of weight. And then you're like, oh, they're moving their entire body to lift this weight. Like they aren't going to be as strong as the person who is isolating a bicep curl without moving their trunk. So the same thing, and that's a good example because we see that a lot, but it's the same thing for any other exercise. If I'm doing a single leg squat without any weight, and my hip is dropping, my knee is caving in, I'm falling over, it doesn't really matter if I can do 10 of those because it's not doing me any good. So I need to find a way to improve that quality of movement. So I might be holding onto a wall, a TRX, a chair. I might not be squatting as low. I might have my other heel on the ground as a modification. So it's kind of like, put your ego aside, let's modify it and then build it up so you can build that strength a lot faster versus just saying, okay, go do three sets of 10. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's all about quality of movement. Mm-hmm. So we talked about strength training. I also know that like in terms of like the glutes, I know that glute activation is something that's really big for runners. Mike, my coach is always like, we got to do our glute activation stuff before we go running. And I think that you can have a lot of strength in those areas, but like if you have a lot of strength, like does that mean the world? Like if you have a lot of strength, but you aren't able to translate it into your running strides, then you can still have problems. Like, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. And a lot of runners will think that they have strong glutes and they might, because maybe again, they're lifting, you know, heavy weight with squats, heavy weight with deadlifts, but they could be compensating in some way. For example, they might be using their low back to lift a deadlift versus their glutes. They might be squatting and be mostly loading their quads. So I feel like I hear this a lot. And anytime someone says, my glutes are really strong, like that could not be the issue, I'm just like, okay, well, let me see. Because most of the time there, it still might be weaker because maybe your hip is tight. Maybe you're not able to load your glute max as much as you should, specifically in the like when you're pushing off the ground in that hip extension. Maybe you don't have the motor control from your glute max to your brain, meaning you are telling your brain is telling your glute max to contract and you're able to do that. A lot of people lack that neurological motor control, which is like baseline, like we need this to be able to use our muscle 100% like we should. Maybe they're lacking glute max stability, because that's a big thing too in that single leg. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong, which makes running really cool when everything goes right. But I think a lot of it is a lot of runners, again, think that they are working their glute max, but that's where it just comes down to quality of movement and then having that running specific strength workout.
So you talked about motor control a little bit. Like, would you train that in the same way that you would like train like strength, or like what really would like kind of like categorize that in terms of like what you'd be doing for like exercises?
Yeah, it's not strength at all, actually. It's foundational strength, I guess you could call it. So motor control would be Let's see. So like, say you're sitting here and I ask you to squeeze your glutes and you're like, okay, I'm squeezing my glutes, and then relax your glutes. That's motor control, but you're not actually strengthening the glute max. Like by doing it, that's more of like that stability and like that, I keep calling it motor control, but like, it's like that neuromuscular reeducation where you are able to tell your brain, contract your glutes, relax. Okay, now just the left glute, relax. And a lot of people lack that when they're injured. So rehab usually looks like working on that motor control and then that stability and then that strength and then that power applied metrics. We can't just jump into strength if you don't have that motor control, because then you're going to be compensating. So I think it's really important, like not every runner lacks motor control, especially if, you know, you're not injured, then usually you can squeeze your glutes, it's not a problem. But this is more for like the injured runner or a runner who has like chronic ITB syndrome that flares up every now and then, like they might lack it. So it definitely depends on the runner, but it's, I wouldn't say like motor control is pure strength.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to hear your thoughts briefly on like stretching, because I think there's like a huge debate in the running space. Whenever I've gotten an injury in my lifetime, people are always like, well, you just need to stretch it out, you know, stretch like crazy. And so I did, but I didn't get better. And I feel like a lot of runners can attest to that. They tell themselves that stretching is good, but I feel like it doesn't always work. So can you talk a little bit about the debate over static stretching and like, you know, just like what that's all about?
Yeah, my experience with static stretching has changed a lot since I was first out of grad school. I think it's important to note, like, there is nothing wrong with static stretching, but not everyone needs it. So if you think about static stretching, if you think about stretching in general, you have dynamic movements and then you have static stretching. Dynamic stretching, static stretching. Mm-hmm. So static stretching would be like if I hold a hamstring stretch for 30 seconds to a minute. Dynamic movements would be like I'm doing hamstring kicks. Like it's a 1 to 2 second hold maybe, but I'm really working on increasing the joint's range of motion. And I think that's where, you know, when I was injured, the first thing I did was, oh my gosh, maybe I do need to stretch more. Like I fall, it's funny how PTs, like, I know I'm not the only one who does this, but you kind of fall into this, like, I don't know, you're like a patient again, but you're not a good patient because you're trying to fix yourself. So you're like, okay, maybe I do need new shoes. Maybe I need to stretch. Maybe this is tight. And then you're like, okay, no, that is actually not going to help. But a lot of runners will feel tightness and think they need to stretch. But it's the brain usually playing tricks on you, because most runners don't need to do static stretching. If you think about the gait cycle, you're going through, you know, you're not a runners aren't gymnasts. You don't need a ton of flexibility in order to run. And you're usually going through this, you're usually lengthening the muscle throughout your day-to-day activities, walking, if you're jogging, if you're, you know, doing laundry, whatever it is, like you're going through enough flexibility of the muscles. So if it feels tight, a lot of runners will start to stretch, but the reality is most times when a muscle feels tight, it's usually weak, because most times the muscle, when it feels tight, like let's say our hip flexor feels tight, it's in this lengthened position. And then it's the neuroreceptors that sit on the muscle that are in this lengthened position. And it's also weak. So it has this sensation that it's tight. You start stretching it and it's like, okay, well, this isn't helping at all because it feels tight. But the reality is, you have to strengthen it.
Right. Yeah. So for like the average runner who maybe is like injury free and they're like, okay, this is all great, how do I actually like start building a strength or rehab program? Like, what would you suggest to them? Like if they're just starting from ground zero, they've been running, they're injury free. What would you kind of start with there?
Yeah, I think there's four main components to a good runner's specific strength workout, and we kind of touched on these, but I'll name them out. Stability. So let's start. Mobility, your joint's range of motion. Stability, being able to control your joint through this range of motion. Building strength, and then building power. Building strength and power should only come when you have that stability and mobility. Otherwise, It goes back to a single leg squat where your hips collapsing, your knees caving in, like it's all over the place. It's sloppy. If you're like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, that wasn't that bad. Now let me add a 20 pound weight. It's just going to get sloppier and you're not going to build strength like you want to. It's going to be a very slow progress or process if you try to do that. So I always say like mobility and stability are like the foundation of the house. And then once you have that, it's a lot easier to build strength and power. So if you think about like example stability exercises, a single leg squat's a good one, single leg balance, single leg bridges. I love single leg stuff, but if you're not ready for that, then just go ahead and do double leg. I have a lot of good examples of this on my Instagram. I feel like if I start naming exercises, people won't really know what I'm talking about. But if you go to my Instagram, I have a ton of like stability exercises. And then for mobility, that's when, you know, you don't necessarily have to be like, okay, now I'm working mobility of my workout. Now I'm working strength. You can do that, but a lot of the time, like if you are going through these exercises, you're also working on mobility. So the only time that you really have to work mobility is pre-run and post-run. And that is just like a 5-minute warm-up, a 5-minute cool-down for some mobility exercises. So it doesn't have to be like, I just don't want people thinking it has to be like this huge thing and it's like super overwhelming.
How frequently would you like prescribe, you know, for the average healthy runner who's getting into it, how often would you like prescribe these like exercises? And then like, how would you progress it? Would it be like over like a 6-month period? Would we like kind of progress into like strength and power, or like how would that all work out?
Yeah, so I recommend strength training 2 to 3 times a week. If you're in season or training for a race, maybe 2 times a week. And I always say, like, what season are you in? Like, if you're in season right now, your goal is to, you know, run these races or train for a race. Like, your goal is around running. So strength training should still happen, but it needs to be in this maintenance phase, because you shouldn't be trying to increase your strength and prioritize your runs, like whether it's endurance or speed, at the same time. That's going to cause a lot of issues, because now you're trying to build strength by hypertrophying your muscles. You're going to have DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. You're going to be like, I'm so tired. Like, I'm literally so tired on every run because you're trying to do too much. So I think it's important to prioritize like one thing every couple months, like say 2 to 3 months or however long like your season is. So say you're like, you're out of season and you're like, it's summer for you. Like say you're not training for anything. You're just casually running, like not a lot of structure, or it's just very casual. Then you might be trying to now build strength. And that's when you would strength train 3 days a week, and you'd work on challenging yourself. You'd work on lifting heavier weight, because your goal is now to build strength. So I'm not going to lie, I forgot what the other part of your question was, but I hope that answers the first part.
Yeah, I was just going to, yeah, frequency was like the main thing. And then like, I guess like the second part of my question was like, how would you like progress into the strength and power sort of stuff? If you like start at the mobility and stability, like how long would it take? Would it kind of be like a gradual introduction? Like, would you just be like, okay, we're going to add a little bit of weight to this one exercise, or how would that all work out?
Yeah, it's always gradual. It has to be gradual. Just like anything with running, like you're not going to be like, oh, I ran 10 miles today, I bet I could do 20 next week. Like it has to be gradual, especially to be safe and be self-aware of how you're feeling. We all know like injuries with running can come on quick and out of nowhere. So you have to be self-aware. And it's almost like, I always say, you have to like dip your toes in water and run back and see how you respond. Because if you are just throwing, like if you're doubling your weight, it's like, okay, well, you know, that's, you don't know if your form's going to be sloppy. Like you just want to gradually increase your weight, or it doesn't even have to be weight. Like say I'm doing a box step up and I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling as fatigued. Like I want to progress it. Now I'm going to step onto a higher box. So it doesn't always have to be like increasing weight. You could just increase the progression of the exercise, and that's going to still allow you to gain that strength. And then it could be like, okay, now I want to try at holding 5 pounds or 10 pounds. I think it really needs to be gradual, but it also needs to be like again, it depends on what season you're in. Like if you're trying to build strength or maintenance, but I do think like, even if you're in maintenance mode, it still shouldn't be like you going through the motions. It still needs to be like a little bit challenging, but not to the point where you're like, I can barely walk down the stairs, you know, the next day challenging.
Yeah, I like this idea of like adaptability and really like paying attention to your body rather than putting out like a huge program and then having to follow it to the T, like really listening to what your body's giving you and trying to play the long game. Yeah. Lisa, I think this conversation has been incredibly insightful and valuable for me personally. And I think that a lot of runners will find this pretty helpful as well. You know, you talked all about this idea of quality of movement. And I think that's a thing that a lot of runners struggle with. But I think that if we can refocus ourselves in that way, that can be really helpful. And I also like this idea of like, you don't just get to check a box and be like, ah, been there, done that with my PT work. Like, it's always something that you have to like stay committed to and come back to and really do the work. So yeah, before we wrap up, I just wanted to make sure we cover all our bases. Is there something else that we didn't get to that you think might be crucial for runners to know?
Not that I can think of, but I wanted to go off what you were saying. Like, I think it's important to note, like, your rehab progresses into your prehab, and then there's not a finish line. I think that can be really hard for runners to comprehend. It's like, wait, I have to do this forever. If you want to keep running, then I recommend it. But it's definitely like you're always reevaluating how you are feeling and where your weaknesses are. Just like with running, you know, you're always like, okay, reevaluating, like, okay, you know, I want to continue working on speed, or I want to continue working on my endurance, or building zone two. Like, you're always having something in the back of your mind that you want to work on. And it's the same with strength. It's never like, okay, I did 10 single leg squats, I don't have to strength train for 2 months now. Like, I wish that was the case, but it's just not. And it's always it's a journey. It's not, you know, being able to check off a box and being like, okay, well, I passed that. Like, I don't have to ever strength train again. It's unfortunately something that we always have to keep doing, always have to keep reevaluating ourselves on.
Yeah, I can totally agree. You have to stay committed to the process and just doing it day after day. That's what's really going to help, not just doing it once. Now, before we conclude, do you mind just sharing your Instagram handle and any other additional resources you have if people want to learn more about you?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you again for having me. My Instagram is dr.lisa.dpt, Dr. Lisa DPT. My podcast is Rehab for Runners. And my YouTube is same handle, Dr. Lisa DPT, and my website is drlisadpt.com. So basically, if you Google Dr. Lisa DPT, you'll find me.
All right, that sounds good. We'll include those links in the show notes so that people can check you out. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been great to have you.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thanks so much for listening, folks. I hope that you all enjoyed this episode with Lisa Mitro. I thought that it was extremely insightful, and a lot of the stuff that she shared today, you can essentially just take from this episode and plug right into your training. I think that that is what is so great about her field of study. It's not like, oh, I need to research about zone two training, and then I need to like figure out how I can really like properly periodize it. While there is a lot of periodization with this sort of stuff, it's stuff that you can just say, okay, today I'm going to actually start incorporating some of this stuff into my training. And I think that that's very, very helpful. So I hope that you all enjoyed this episode of the Sunday Shakeout. And if you did, please feel free to leave a follow and 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That goes a long way in supporting the growth of the Sunday Shakeout. Also, if you think that a friend could benefit from hearing this episode, then feel free to share it with a friend. The more that we can enlighten people with, I guess, just information and just knowledge about the running space, and the better the running world will be. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and hope you all really enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and peace out. This is the Sunday Shakeout.